Good morning, everybody. I am the face of a few folk who've put on this morning's service, who've organised things, and my thanks to those. You'll see who they are as we go through. It's the service between Christmas and New Year, always a time to think and reflect, do things a bit differently. So it's quite informal this morning's a mix of different things, and we hope that this focuses our eyes on our Lord. We hope it draws us together as a church family as well. That there was a song by Lapwing, two teachers in the West End of Glasgow, Phil Ford from high school, an English teacher, and Tim Quant, physics from Knightswood. We played it last week, but we thought we would show the video this week, and especially for those who are away from Glasgow just now or stuck at home, it reminds us what Glasgow in the middle of the night with the lights looks like, and it's an inspiring set of views. If a song that's filled a little bit with longing and hoping for things to be a bit better and for people to be together. And I think that's true of the way a lot of us think right now as well. Carrying on with announcements, the yellow sheet has loads of thought-provoking material this week. I encourage you to look through that. And thank you to Amy for assembling all of that. One announcement in the yellow sheet that will be greeted with sadness is that Liz Bell's brother Stephen passed away this week. And while he's a Christian man, and there's a joy and a hope for where he is now with the Lord, of course, there's immense sadness and grief and loss for Liz and the family. And our thoughts and prayers are very much with you, Liz, and any of the other family joining in as well. Later in the service, at the end, in fact, Lynn Harvey is going to be showing us some pictures of people with their Christmas presents just to inject a bit of fun and joy. So if you have a picture of you, of children, adults as well, there is one, which is myself, a picture of me with my favourite presents. Do share those with Lynn by email there. You should see that on the screen. Or by text, and Lynn will assemble those into the pictures at the end, which should be good fun. Moving on now, in the yellow sheets and through the month of December through Advent, lots of people in the church have been sharing their tiny poems on the theme of light. So I'm going to share three or four of those just now. And while there's a few in the yellow sheets, I've picked out the ones from some of the younger members of the church. So this from Robbie. Light is transparent, can't be caught or contained. Light is unstoppable, can't be bound or constrained. I really love that, the feeling of a massive, infinite, unstoppable force of the light of God. Thanks, Robbie, for that. And then I've got the three poems from Anna. As well here. So the first is, the Advent candle burns on slowly, old and unrelenting. The days flicker into motes of light, heavenwards ascending. And I love that unrelenting, unchanging hope of heaven-centered Advent candlelight. And the further poem, light glints off the harness buckle. Donkey bears the weight of promise, sending refractions through the years to us here. And I love that reflected light, or refracted if you're being more physics minded, and as Anna's picked up here, the shiny buckle on the very humble donkey. And it reminded me of 2 Corinthians 4:7, where it talks about jars of clay, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. So very similar theme there of the great light being reflected in the humblest of creatures, in that case, the donkey. And then finally, halos come down in every shape. They flicker down the street. The words of old Israel in our hearts still beat. And again, they're that ancient Latin words coming through the centuries and still living in our beating hearts today. Fantastic. So thanks, Robbie and Anna. Keep that up. And thanks to everybody else who shared their poems as well. They've spent time and effort doing that. It's been wonderful to see those. Okay, we're going to open with a short word of prayer now, so let's all pray together. Lord of Christmas, of light and of hope, Emmanuel God, who has come near to be with his people, We welcome you this morning as we meet in your name to worship you and enjoy the winter warm glow of your love for us expressed in the person of our Lord Jesus. Draw us together this morning in worship and with both solemn but joyful hearts and minds as we reflect on the realities of life but look with hope to all that you are and all that you've already done for us. Please accept our worship as we meet in your name and for your honour and purposes as well, as for our own comfort and our own needs and hopes too. We pray in the name of our friend, Lord and Saviour, Jesus. Amen. Okay, we're now, one of the things we'll do this morning is take a look back at the year that's been. So we're going to do that now and do it through the eyes of some of the young adults in our church families. And this week, Fiona spoke with Jess, Fraser and Anna, and also had some interaction and some sharing of ideas and thoughts with Hannah by email. So I'm going to hand over to Martin to play a video of that short discussion between that group.
Hi. So I'm really happy this morning to be catching up with some of the students who have grown up in West Glasgow and obviously have now moved on to do other things. So thank you very much for joining me, Jess and Fraser and Anna. I'm going to ask you some questions. We're just going to hear from them a little bit about what it's been like. It's been a very strange year for all of us, but I don't think we've heard much about what it's been like for students. So first of all, I just want to ask you each what you're doing. So what stage you're at in studying or training, where you're studying, and maybe also where you're living, if you're living at home or away. Okay, Jess, would you like to start?
Yeah, of course. So I was studying at the University of Strathclyde and I was studying primary education. And I have graduated this year. I graduated in July and I am halfway through my probationary year. So I'm a primary six teacher now in a school in the south side of Glasgow.
Lovely. And you're living at home?
I'm living at home. Yes, I'm with my mum and dad right now.
Okay. Fraser, what about you?
Yeah, I'm second year of mechanical engineering just at Glasgow Uni and I'm still staying at home.
Okay. Great. And Anna, finally.
I've just started my first year studying English and film at Aberdeen Uni, and I'm staying at home.
In halls of residence. Great. Okay, so it's a little bit like, it looks, because of the way it's on the screen, it's like University Challenge, actually, with all the new boxes, but the questions will hopefully not be as hard as that, or maybe actually harder in some ways. Mm-hmm. So what has 2020 been like for you? Anything good? How's it been really different, and what's that been like as a, particularly as a student? Fraser, what's it been like for you?
It's very bizarre. My general opinion is that uni doesn't particularly work well online,
right?
But there are good bits. Watch lectures again is quite handy.
Okay. So has all your teaching been online, or have you had any contact with other students or teachers?
It's all online. In the last week of uni, I arranged, because they had rooms open in the uni to study in.
Right.
I arranged to go and meet people there to study. Yeah. That's the only time I've been in.
Yeah. Okay. Right. And that means, and also presumably, social life, like seeing friends, has just not been able to happen.
Yeah, it's quite limited.
Yeah, that's really hard. Okay, Jess, what about you? What's it been like?
It was a complete roller coaster, to be honest.
Yeah.
At the start of the year, I was still on my last ever university placement in a school. And very luckily I finished my 10-week placement the week before we went into lockdown. Whereas I know that some of my other fellow students at Strathclyde weren't as lucky. They had to completely cancel their placements and stop, so they didn't get to finish. Luckily I did, but we went straight into lockdown and I had a 10,000 word dissertation to write, so that was a bit of an interesting experience trying to write that at home with kind of no access to help or advice really, or in-person advice at least. So I had to do that, and then I was just getting prepared for going back, starting my new job. So I don't think anyone knew what it was going to look like, and it was still really, we were all a bit confused, and we were just waiting for advice kind of over the summer. And then we kind of found out what it would look like in August, so it was all a wee bit last minute, and I felt pretty unprepared for what it was going to be like. And then so I was just trying to prepare myself for that, kind of towards the end of the summer. And then when I started in August, it was just, it's just, time has gone so quickly, but it's been a complete roller coaster of, of emotions and things. It's been a really bizarre experience.
You're looking really fresh. You all are, actually. I'm just, you know, must be, especially you, Jess, you must be exhausted by now.
I'm honestly absolutely knackered. I really am. It was hard getting through the last 2 days. We just finished yesterday afternoon.
So we do really appreciate you taking time out for this.
No, you're very welcome.
And you go back, so you're possibly not sure exactly when you go back at this point.
So we, as far as we know right now, we are, the holidays have extended for a week for the children. Then there should be 1 week of online learning, but we're not sure if that will maybe extend or whether it'll just be the 1 week. So we're kind of, we've got lots of different plans in place, and we're just going to have to wait and see which plan we have to go with.
Yeah. Okay. Hard. Anna, what's it been like for you?
Well, the beginning of lockdown was just really boring and long because, there wasn't really much to do. And then I actually really like uni because I'm in hall, so I'd see people. I mean, probably not as much as I would if we weren't in lockdown. Well, yeah. But, no, it's been weird. It's definitely strange being back home because there's not much to do. But, yeah, and I don't know, I've got mixed feelings about online learning because, like, I do think it's made me probably get better grades than I would have if we were doing it in person classes because it's all open book, but also it's kind of depressing being stuck in your room all day in front of a laptop. I don't know.
And the experience, of course, this has been your first experience of uni, this is your only experience is doing it under lockdown, so in some ways I think you've been lucky because you've ended up in a flat with other people that you really get on with, but I'm not sure that's been everyone's experience, has it?
I mean, I know a lot of people don't get on with other flatmates, so luckily mine are really good and we have like a kind of group that we stick with, but I think it's been quite hard on other people.
Jess, I just wanted to ask you something else about, because you're a teacher, a trainee teacher, and I think at church this year we've heard quite a lot from the people, you know, pupils in church and how they're getting on and how it's really different for them, and that's been really interesting to hear. But I don't know that we've heard much from the teaching side of it, so it would be really interesting to hear from you what that's been like, how do you negotiate that with primary six children, and all the changes?
It's been extremely tough, in all honesty. I think it's tough as well because the rules are constantly changing, whether you know, if we're in whatever tier we're in, so the rules in schools are changing as well about where we can go and spaces we can use and resources we can use. And so it does get a bit confusing for us, the children. I think they're so used to it now. They're so used to it. When we came in back in August, it was a bit, you know, up and down. We had to keep reminding the children about washing their hands and staying away and things like that. But I think they're so used to it now. I think they're getting a little bit tired of it now. And all the different rules that we have to follow, but it's almost just become a bit of, yeah, it's just normality now.
Yeah.
But it has been tough in the schools, absolutely. I think all teachers were kind of struggling now with all the changes, and it's again not knowing where we'll be in four weeks' time. And we're trying to make the experience as normal as we can for the children, and keep the learning engaging and trying to get children involved. And even in home online learning, it's really hard to get children engaging in that.
Our job
is just it's become a little bit more stressful.
Absolutely. It's a really strange time for you to be, you know, doing your probation, I suppose. It's going to be really easy when things, change for the better and go back to normal.
I know. People keep saying to me, you know, it's in one hand, it's the worst year to have your probationary year.
Yes.
And it's amazing, and you're going to be able to do anything after
Absolutely.
This. Probably think that this. You're right.
You can do anything. Absolutely. Certainly for teachers, and I think for the rest of you at uni, I think if you can get through this, then hopefully things will be looking better next year. So what are you thinking about 2021? If we were asking the church to pray for you, what would your hopes be for next year, either personally or, you know, for your work or study situation? Just generally, Fraser, let's go to you.
It's quite a hard question because I'm still mentally in October. I've not registered that it's the new.
Yeah. So do you kind of feel that you're on pause almost?
Yeah, I've not really registered much going on since March.
Yeah.
So I guess just to be able to remember what day of the week it is again.
Yeah. that's a good start. Yeah. That gives us a good idea of a very good picture of what life's like. It's really hard, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Anna, what are you thinking?
That I am able to go back to uni.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that I get out the flat more.
Yes, that might be possible. I know. I'm just going to come back to you, Fraser, because I know that you've been involved in the Christian Union, haven't you, at Glasgow in the past? Mm-hmm. And Anna, you've managed to make contact. I'm just wondering how that's been different. You know, how has the CU managed to work, and any clubs, in fact, because everything's been online, hasn't it? Fraser, have you got any idea? How have they done that?
Yeah. It's definitely been different. A lot of stuff we do has continued, not in the same fashion, but we have weekly meetings and now they're just on Zoom.
Yeah.
But in some ways that's continued like it normally does. But the events, like we normally have lunches. Events, but they've all had to be online, which is good. They can still go ahead in some regard. It's just quite difficult because it's a very different style.
And finally, Jess, what can we pray for you? What are you looking forward to or hoping for?
I'm really just hoping to get through my probationary year in one piece. It's been a real challenge, so I'm hoping that things maybe become a little bit less stressful after Christmas. I don't know how realistic that is, but that's my hope anyway. And just that hope that I can see friends again. I really haven't seen my friends at all since March. And it's been tough. All I do is go to work and come home. That would bring a little bit of joy back into my life, definitely.
Yeah, that's a really good note to end on, actually. I think we can all relate to that. And yeah, I think especially for you all at your time of life, it's particularly hard to not have, you know, the social networks that you would normally be really enjoying at this point. So I'm going to stop the recording now and just want to thank you all very much. I know that folks at church will be really happy just to see your faces and to hear a little bit about what you're doing. So thanks very much for that.
Thank you.
Yeah, we want to give a really big thank you to Jess Fraser, Anna and Hannah, you didn't see there as well. Fiona mentioned at the end that we'd all be happy to see them, and I think I can speak for us all and say we're delighted to see them and hear a bit of how life has been for them and some of their hopes. Some of the things they mentioned were specific to being a student or a probationary teacher, but the bizarreness, the roller coaster, the tiredness, finding online things difficult, disorientation and uncertainties, and with some upsides and good bits, and where people felt there were some lucky breaks as well. There's so many, so much in that. And when Fiona asked the guys there, you know, about what we could pray for, you know, getting back into it in January, which we shouldn't take for granted, you know, being able to finish things off, get back to some normal, actually seeing friends and building relationships and so on. There's so much for us to pray for there. We're going to have a time of prayer later, but I just thought it worth pointing those out. I'm sure lots of us are praying, and maybe we should continue to pray as well. Thinking further from the, I read from 2 Corinthians 4 earlier, and thinking about that, the jars of clay, reading on a little bit in there in verses 8 and 9, Paul says, we're afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. And I think there's, although in some ways Paul would likely be focusing on persecution, thinking about being perplexed and afflicted and driven to despair and being put low, those are things I think that do come through when we think of the year that's been. Thinking now to 2021, there are various promises, I think, from God that we could cling on to as we head into the new year. So I've captured a couple of my thoughts here. You may have, and you probably will have, your own thoughts or the promises or the scriptures that you look to at times, such as we're in just now. So first of all, you know, in the Scripture Union readings last week from Isaiah, in chapter 8, verse 17, it says, I will wait for the Lord who is hiding his face from the house of Jacob, and I will hope in him. And sometimes I suppose it has felt a bit like it felt like God was hiding his face from us, but there is still hope. And that hope then is fulfilled in Isaiah chapter 9, you know, the classic Christmas nativity and Advent verses from Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And we can see there the hope fulfilled. So through the struggle, the longing, the waiting, the hope is fulfilled in the very person of Jesus. And I think we can hope that he will be a Wonderful Counselor and Mighty God and Prince of Peace to all of us. Going back to 2 Corinthians 4 again, so later on, having thought about being perplexed and put down, Paul then says, so we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. And it mentioned there about wasting away. And I suppose in some ways we do feel life is on pause. We're stagnating. We may not be going forwards as we'd want. But these verses there tell us that those troubles are momentary, and that a great hope and an eternal glory awaits us. And then finally, from Romans 5, 3-5, not only so, but we are also we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So again, those verses talk about looking through our sufferings to the work they do in developing our character, and hope, and acknowledging God's love and the work of Spirit in our lives. Those are great things to hold on to. There are many more, as I said before, but there are some just wonderful I suppose, exhortations or encouragements or truths or promises in Scripture that can really help us through. And I know that many of us have held fast to those things in the months that have been, and we will need to in the months coming as well. One song, before I move on, actually, if you do have pictures, and adults, you can send, if you're wearing, for example, or holding, or have one of your favourite presents near you, do send them to Lynn. That will make for quite good fun at the end to see people happy with their Christmas gifts, given or received, for that matter. So a song that resonated through 2020, and thanks to those who introduced this in a couple of services through the year that I can remember, and it reminds us to hold that we are held fast by God, and it's a great focus on the Lord and a great focus of our hopes for 2021. So we're going to sing or hear Now He Will Hold Me Fast.
He will hold me fast. He will. my Saviour. For my Saviour loves me so. He will hold me fast.
That is such a rousing, encouraging and hopeful song, and beautifully sung and played as well, and with focus in exactly the right place. I'm delighted now to introduce Wendy, who's going to lead us in a short time of prayer. So Wendy, thank you for joining us, and thank you for doing this, and so over to you.
Thank you. A couple of weeks ago, I was writing Christmas cards and opened a pack, and here were the ones that said, "Away in a manger, O little town of Bethlehem," and a nice greeting inside that said, "Wishing you peace and joy this Christmas." And then I picked up the next card and it was like this. And I thought, oh my goodness, but this is how a lot of people have been feeling this year. And as I was thinking and praying about this prayer time over this last year and into next year, it seemed to me that the word that was coming to me was lament. And over a third of the Psalms are prayers of lament, shouts of lament, songs of lament, and the Book of Lamentations is one of lament. And Jesus laments in his last week on earth. And I've never written a prayer like this before, but this is it. So shall we pray? Lament for 2020. Oh Lord, what a year, Lord. We turn to you as we reflect on 2020, the year defined by COVID-19. We believe you want us to bring our anger, frustration, sorrow, fears, and tears to you. For the people who've died or are suffering from long COVID, those who've lost their job, elderly folks and vulnerable people who've been sheltering for months, care home residents and their families unable to meet and hug the isolated and lonely, people fearful of diagnosis or treatment when appointments were cancelled, couples whose wedding plans have been in tatters, new mums unable to meet up, no toddler groups, reduced nursery time for disabled children, libraries, swimming pools and clubs closed. People working and learning from home instead of face-to-face in offices, colleges, universities and schools. Travel plans in disarray. People on the front line of COVID, utterly exhausted by it all. Lord, we hate this virus and its effects. But we believe the light of Christ has not been extinguished. In West Glasgow, we've sensed your presence in Zoom services of worship. You've drawn close and brought words of hope and peace. You've called people to new work for you in sewing scrubs, delivering groceries, phoning and visiting people, and countless other works. You've inspired people to reach out to the needy and the lonely with the soup shack and the cap work based at Summerfield. You're equipping the new elders to serve. You are comforting those who mourn. Lord, We prayed for a vaccine and you heard and answered. So with boldness, we pray some more big prayers that the vaccine would bring a worldwide effective solution, that experts and political leaders would seek your wisdom and direction as to what to do next. We pray for the outworkings of Brexit, for people in squalid refugee camps in Lesbos and Samos, and the people who are ministering to them. For people caught up in the conflicts in Syria and Tigray province in Ethiopia, for the young people in northern Nigeria preyed upon by Boko Haram. And we leave this lament and these requests with you. We turn to you unburdened and put our trust in you for 2021, as we believe from your word in Lamentations, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So, in the words of the Aaronic blessing, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen.
Wendy, thank you so much for that. And thank you too for being one of the very faithful band of sisters, as I like to call them, who keep prayer at the centre of our life weekly throughout the whole year in West Glasgow. Thank you for that. We're now going to have a further song and then after that straight into a communion, which will be led by Linda this morning. And so Linda's, I wouldn't like to say warm up, but it's a great song, but it's going to lead us into communion by Stormzy, Blinded by Your Grace. So Martin's going to play that now.
Blinded by your grace, I'm blinded by your grace, by your grace. I'm blinded by your grace, I'm blinded by your. Lord, I've been broken, although I'm not worthy. You fix me, I'm blinded by your grace. You came and saved me. Lord, I've been broken, although I'm not worthy. You fixed me, now I'm blinded by your grace. You came and saved me. One time for the Lord, and one time for the cause, and one round of applause, one time for Fraser T. Smith from the courts. I think we got one. I stay prayed up, then I get the job done. Yeah, I'm Abigail's youth, but I'm God's son. But I'm up now, look at what God's done. Nah, real talk, look at what God did. On the main stage, running round topless. I phone flips, then I tell him that we got this. This is God's plan, they can never stop this. Like, wait right there, could you stop my verse? You saved this kid and I'm not your first. It's not by blood and it's not by birth, but oh my God, what a God I serve.
Lord, I've been broken, although I'm not worthy. You fix me, I'm blinded by your grace. You came and saved me. Lord, I've been broken, although I'm not worthy.
I said a prayer this morning. I prayed I would find a way to another day. I was so afraid till you came and saved. You came and saved me. And the rain was pouring 'cause the sun faded away.
Welcome to this part of our service. Communion has become even more important to me over the last months when we've been unable to meet together as a congregation. It's taken on even more significance that we can share in our remembrance of Jesus' death and resurrection using physical symbols, that we are apart and yet we are still together. The theme today is the threshold from the old year into the new, looking towards a new year, a year with new hope. We may have many more tough restrictions in front of us for the weeks, maybe even months to come, but we can also look forward to a time of protection and vaccination against this virus, which has had such impact on our lives. And we can feel hope for a recovery when we can again appreciate the simple, beautiful things of meeting together in person, of coming together as a church family. This new year is also a time of great hope and thankfulness for me personally, for us personally, because we got married just a few days ago, and here we are now living in our new home. I want to share this part of our service with Brian, who's here with me.
In this holy Christmas season, we approach this time of communion like the wise men, full reverently upon our knee, mindful of our human frailty, and confessing to God and to one another our consciousness of missing the mark. Looking to God, our Heavenly Father, for forgiveness, grace, and strength. Assured by Jesus' death and resurrection that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness.
As Paul wrote to the Corinthians, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' Let us with thankful hearts share the bread together." In the same way also he took the cup. He took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us with thankful hearts share the cup together. Come to Jesus and find hope. Come to Jesus and find grace. Come to Jesus and find love.
Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you that your beloved Son came into the world to be its light. We thank you that the darkness can never put out that light. Grant us the grace, humility, and strength to walk the path of faith together by that light. For we ask this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
That will be our closing prayer. So thank you, Brian. Thanks, Linda, especially as you're one of several in our church who are absolutely in the thick of it in managing and delivering healthcare in this intense time that we're in. And thanks to Brian too. I didn't know when I asked Linda we would have Linda and Brian, and it's brilliant news of their wedding this week. And our warmest congratulations and hopes to you. And I suppose that's very much in the model of things where a married couple are concerned. It's a a joint effort and absolutely brilliant to see that. Thank you very much, both of you, and warmest hopes and wishes for you both. Our next family service is next Sunday morning at 10:30, and there's Breaking of Bread service this evening. That's in the yellow sheet. It's led by Martin and Barbara. And now I'm going to hand over to Martin to play a slightly alternative and maybe final for the year Christmas carol as a church. If you, it's done in fun and with permission from everybody involved, I'm glad to say. So we'll play that, and then Lynn is going to show us any pictures that have been sent in of people with their favourite Christmas presents. So it's been a joy being here with you this morning. Thank you for joining us, and thanks to everybody who's played a role. I won't read out names, it's quite a long list of folk you saw there contributing. Thank you very much for that. Okay, so over to the Hark the Herald Angels Sing choir.
Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies, with angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. My heart's that love, Christ the everlasting Lord.
Late in time, behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb. Built in flesh, the Godhead see, held incarnate deity.
Pleased as man with man to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings.
As he lays his glory by, on that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to live the second birth.
Sorry, folks, on a wee problem here. Oh, wait, 2 seconds.
Thanks, Martin. Thanks, Lynn.
Hey, no problem.
Cheers, Graham.
Morning, everybody. Best wishes to you all. God bless.